Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Deck your home with Blinds.com. DIY or let us install. Free design consultation. Plus free samples and free shipping.
Ho, ho, ho! Blinds.com invented a better way to buy custom high-quality window treatments with no showroom mock-ups or waiting around for quotes from pushy salespeople, saving you time and money for the holidays with upfront pricing right on our website.
Go right now to Blinds.com. Satisfaction guaranteed.
Satisfaction guaranteed.
Head to Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Blinds.com.
Blinds.com.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
So it's second and goal. Menungai to the end zone, and there's his first NFL touchdown.
This is really, really good. They timed the motion up well right here. You can feel, you get a block there, but the big one, watch Drew Dolman, the center, pull out. You know, number one is center pulling, but number two down on the goal line. A lot of times when you're down on that goal line, guys are just firing straight ahead to get penetration in it. And it's hard if you're a puller when you leave that spot. So that this offensive line is really starting to get into a groove with what Ben Johnson is teaching him in the run game.
Rattler under center, fourth down and one. On the roll, Rattler throws. It's deflected and intercepted by Edmonds. Tremaine Edmonds with the pick. And Rattler with his third. Interception thrown today. The Bears take it away. Up 12 in the fourth.
Well, I tell you, this is a great job by this Bears defense because they've got everything covered. You're going to take a flat route here. You're bringing a wide receiver down the field this way. That's covered. And then you're trying to find your tight end coming back into the middle of the field. Jack Skoll right there. There's four defenders. A great job by the Bears. They had everything covered. There was nowhere for Spencer Rattler to go.
Dennis Allen, yeah, he's fired up. This will end the Saints' eight-game winning streak against the Chicago Bears as Caleb Williams takes a knee, and the Bears, for the second straight season, are going to start 4-2 in a season, and that's where you probably temper your enthusiasm a little bit if you're a Bears fan because you saw it last year. You look ahead, though, and there are some winnable opportunities coming up.
And now, live on 670 The Score and on the Odyssey app, it's Anthony Harry, former NFL defensive lineman and Iowa Hawkeye, football analyst for 670 The Score, Fox Sports, SiriusXM, Big Ten Network, and NBC Sports. Anthony Harron on 670 The Score.
City! the better part of the next 90 minutes. I am your voice. This is Anthony Herron on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Tonight, the 49ers host the Falcons on Sunday Night Football. Coverage is coming up at 6:30 with kickoff at 7:20 right here on The Score and the Odyssey app. But up until that time, we are talking Bears, all the Bears, nothing but the Bears. Four dubs in a row for your Chicago Bears, now sitting at 4-2 on the season, 2-1. Their home record, another victory that they have earned at Soldier Field. And as much as this city, this sports fandom has had some haymakers thrown at it in recent years, there have been all kinds of times, whether you're talking about the Bears, the Cubs, the Sox, the Bulls, you name it, there have been squads in this city that have found a way to frustrate, to confound the Chicago sports populace. But not right now. Not this time. Not these 4-2 Chicago Bears. I'm enjoying it, and I am confident that you are as well. So go ahead, hit me up. My guy Tyler Farrengo will be on the ones and twos for me over the next hour and a half. I want to get you involved in this conversation. This is the Post-Post Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. With that 4-2 record overall, now the Bears are right in the thick of the conversation. Same record as those Detroit Lions. Bears coach Ben Johnson's former employer sits at 4-2 as well. Green Bay Packers, 3-1. Packers are losing, though. They are down on the road to the Arizona Cardinals. It was bleak. I'm going to bring up old stuff for a minute. It was not looking great after those first two games of the season. Bears controlled that opener on Monday Night Football against the Vikings. Then let it all slip away and then laid whatever's beyond laying an egg, whatever type of egg it was. Perhaps it's just like the various stages of eggdom that you can lay for something to just go poorly with your performance. So they lay like an ostrich egg or a pterodactyl egg. Biggest egg, I guess, actually, I got to ask my 8-year-old son. I'm pretty sure all dinosaurs laid eggs, if I'm not mistaken. So we'll just call it a dinosaur egg that they laid on the road in Detroit in week 2. But now they continue to ring off dub after dub after dub after dub. And this one was not a one-point victory. This one of impressive fashion over the New Orleans Saints, 26-14, the final score at Soldier Field. Our thanks to Fox Sports for the call there, that audio you heard with Tyler leading us into the show tonight. My guy Kevin Kugler Coogs might be listening in as he's on the way to the airport or something like that. Don't appreciate the wet blanket, by the way, there, Coogs, about the whole 4-2 record thing. Yeah, they started 4-2 last season and then lost 10 games in a row. So what? This is 2025. This is the Ben Johnson Bears. This is not the Matt Eberflus Bears. This is not the 2024 Bears. And the fun thing about this is that since it was a part of our open there leading into the show, by comparison, and we talked about it on the station quite a bit here, where that 4-2 start last season, as various Bears players were, you know, pretty quickly and early in the season publicly questioning where things sat with the coaching staff, whether or not they were being coached correctly or being coached hard enough or completely believing in and trusting the schematics of everything that was going on and how the rookie quarterback was being utilized, how the defense was being called, all those other things, but still to get off to that 4-2 start, it was nice, but there were so many questions about how legit that was. And I'm not here to tell you that this is a great team on the cusp of a deep playoff run yet. This current version of the Bears, this 2025 version of the Chicago Bears, this Benny Johns version of your Chicago Bears, they seem to be on the same page. They seem to be like-minded. They seem to be of one accord with how they're attacking things. And then we get those glimpses inside the locker room and the post-game afterwards with everything else. Those are fun, and those are normally going to be fun after victories. But all the meat that's still there on the bone in various ways, that should be viewed as encouraging, especially because it's the very first season for Ben Johnson. Now, yes, it is year four for Ryan Poles, but in the first season of the Ben Johnson era, to still be able to ride the wave with some of the inconsistencies early in the season, passing attack ahead of the run game. Early in the season, nothing seemed to be working well on the defense. And now just sort of week by week, game by game, and especially these two victories coming out of the bye week, we see a run game that has truly begun to flourish. We see a defense that's taken the rock away over and over again. And I would say more importantly than the takeaways on defense, a defense that's really been able to bolster the way they defend the run. And that's going to be so important as the season continues to wear on. And as you get into divisional play, as you get into December and January, and where, you know, that portion of the season that Ben Johnson says we'll be playing our best football. And he continues to repeat that here as we're in the mid-October now. But with that in mind, and because Ben Johnson is an offensive coach, and because we've known him to be this schematic mastermind coming into this, when he says a lot of comments about the team as a whole, I think many of us tend to take it, view it through an offensive lens for things that he's saying. So Ben Johnson has repeated the phrase that we're going to be playing our best football in December and January. And a lot of times, I know I do it, and I'm confident you do it as well, we think about that with Caleb Williams, his quarterback, and thinking that Caleb and this Bears offense, this Bears passing attack, for a lot of the season so far, this Bears run game was a part of that conversation as well. We're seeing the run game turning a corner here a couple of games in a row. But a lot of that, when Ben Johnson makes a statement, sort of a generalized statement the way he phrases it, I still view it, and I believe you do, many of you do as well, view it through the lens of the offense. More specifically, my mind immediately goes to, oh, he's saying he's going to have this thing figured out with Caleb more in December than he does right now. And that should certainly be encouraging. And that's one of the things I really want you to take to heart in the midst of where this team is at right now. At 4-2, a four-game win streak in the first season of Ben Johnson leading the Chicago Bears, to be able to do that while still recognizing, and if you don't recognize, we'll point a couple things out to you. Ben Johnson's offense is so varied and so versatile, and there is so much on the plate of the quarterback and the tight end position and the center and the running backs. You can tell the individual players whose wheels are still spinning. Now, there's not a position on the field, really, for any team, but certainly here for the Bears and the Ben Johnson offense, there's no one who's got more on their individual plate than Caleb Williams, than a Ben Johnson QB. And so this offense, as Caleb, is still able to find ways to make plays, to move the ball, while still having so much to continue to grasp and get comfortable with. But this team is winning games while that's taking place. Because point blank and period, this is the worst game Caleb's played through six games so far this season. And the Bears were still able to win it by 12 points. We've seen growth from the defense, from the Dennis Allen defense, from the way that they're attacking opponents. But on each side of the ball, there are areas to grow. There are areas for the Bears to continue improving. And that you can get to 4-2 and still look at the squad and say, man, we're capable of more than this. We have the ability to grow towards being better than this in a variety of places. Kyler Gordon has just been back in for a couple of games. T.J. Edwards has just been back in for a couple of games. Fingers crossed Jalen Johnson returns later in the season. Fingers crossed Tyreek Stevenson? Not out for too long, hopefully. We'll see. Left tackle, I mean, you know, they don't have a left tackle in the future yet, maybe, but there's been some in and out within the lineup at left tackle also. And you've got this second-year QB who, while Ben Johnson has said frequently, he's to the point now where he can communicate the plays, get him in rhythm, get him in and out of the huddle, get the team lined up. You're seeing all that improve. But what actually comes from Caleb, and by comparison to last season, one of the way that Caleb, I just said the word comfortable, and immediately in my head, as I was talking about the offense and Caleb continuing to get more comfortable with everything that Ben Johnson tasks them with on offense. But you think back to last season, and Caleb would occasionally reference being comfy during the game. And it was just like the cutest little thing in the world to have the rookie quarterback talking about being comfy at certain moments in the game. We haven't heard Caleb describe himself as comfy yet this season. I don't know if it's just because he's a year older. Maybe he feels like he's grown out of being comfy. But for me, when Caleb would say that last year, it would make me think about my, at that time, 7-year-old son. That's how he would occasionally describe himself when he'd like have his blankie, curl up in it sometimes, get ready to lay down for bed, you know, get all warm and toasty late in the fall or into the wintertime, and he'd want to get comfy in certain ways. And there were some points during the season last year where Caleb would describe himself as comfy and evaluate what took place during the game and talk about how he either was comfy or wasn't comfy. We haven't heard Caleb use the term comfy yet this year. I don't know yet if he's beyond the word comfy or if that is indicative of not being completely there yet. And I think that is completely fair and frankly unsurprising because of what we've known about this Ben Johnson offense before he became the Bears head coach, before he got here and took this thing over. And now that he's here and we're seeing the various chess pieces that he can move around and how he can utilize all these weapons, there's a lot that's here. And it should be exciting for you. And I certainly get the impression that it is. Let's get a couple of callers in before I go to my first time out. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767 is the number to hit me up. Tyler Ferengo will be here answering the phones throughout the evening. Let's go to Andy, who is in Wisconsin right now. I want to talk about the Chicago Bears on the Post Show. What's happening, Andy?
Hey, Big Ann. Thanks for taking my call, brother.
I appreciate you making it.
I really want to say it's like watching a competent coaching staff that actually knows how to actually coach. And where I really go back to that, Big Ant, is if you watch, you know, number four, he was not running the ball hard last year at all because he wasn't coached to. But this year, you look at him hitting the hole, it's a little different. It's a little different, you know. Now the defense is off to a great start, which I love, don't get me wrong. But I really focus on the offensive line and the running game. And I'll tell you, number four was not doing that last year, Big Ant.
I appreciate it, Andy, and I agree. I think it's an astute call. I like the observation you're making there about DeAndre Swift and the ground attack. And I'll add a layer to what Andy described there because I think DeAndre Swift, he ran hard last season, but he ran differently than right now. And I'll be here with you until 6:30. I'll be able to describe it in a little bit more detail with something the Bears attacked within their zone run scheme, a particular type of zone run play that was there on the DeAndre Swift touchdown run that he had in the game, but also something within the Saints defense that the Bears run game began taking advantage of. But just to address Andy's specific point there for a moment, DeAndre Swift, I was telling you guys this last year with sort of some of the goal line situations that the Bears found themselves in. Once they would get inside the 10-yard line, inside the 5-yard line, and, you know, I think it was like a game early in the season where it's like, we're going to speed option to the boundary on 4th and goal inside the 3, and, you know, Caleb getting stuffed or whoever Caleb pitched it to got stuffed or something like that with DeAndre Swift in the backfield. And the scouting report on DeAndre Swift throughout his NFL career at various stops has been that he's a guy who operates best in space, and he's a player who's very inconsistent with his reads to find space between the tackle. The way that he either creates space or makes plays in space is usually if you get him outside the tackle box. And we've seen his willingness, DeAndre Swift's willingness to press the hole. And Eric Bieniemy is the running back coach for the Bears. Everything I know about Eric Bieniemy, and so I'm sure some of the things that many of you have heard about Eric Bieniemy prior to him being the Bears running backs coach, is how demanding he is of his players, the intensity that he coaches with. There's a detail to Eric Bieniemy's coaching style with the running backs. And for DeAndre Swift, up until now, where before this season, and frankly at times this season, where some of the frustration was there in the early games of feeling like maybe there's more of a crease. And that the term that I like to use is to run through the smoke. And that wasn't something DeAndre Swift previously specialized in his career. And it's an area that he continues to improve at, and it's still at times can be inconsistent with. Because he's a running back who flourishes in daylight, he's had a tendency in his career to hunt for daylight, to try and create daylight when it isn't there, as opposed to trusting the lane, trusting the pathway that a particular run play is designed for and pressing into the hole. And a lot of times that path where maybe if you're supposed to be hugging the hip of one of the particular offensive linemen or coming right off the space of the handoff for the path of the quarterback, or your landmark is maybe taking you wide at first and you're supposed to begin getting vertical within a certain timing. Your footwork at times as a running back has to be very precise. It's one of the underappreciated aspects of just watching a guy have the football handed to him and then start to dance around. But there are a lot of specifics with the way that plays are designed and are expected to time up. And especially, again, going back to Ben Johnson's run schemes and the way this Bears rushing attack operates, a center like Drew Dahlman, who's trusted to pull in scenarios where not every center in the league can overreach a linebacker in ways that they ask Drew Dahlman to, or overreach a three technique in the way that Drew Dahlman can get out of his stance and use his athleticism, or we have a back block coming from the guard and Drew Dahlman in short yardage scenarios can become the puller or lead blocker or seal blocker. But all these things come down to timing, where the path of the running back and then the trust of the running back to stay on that path toward and through the line of scrimmage and then to burst through with urgency. And from there, the hole may declare itself late from a back's perspective, because you've got the ball and you're a couple of steps into the traffic, into the teeth of the defense, and that hole may just declare itself late. Or maybe it doesn't the first time you run inside zone, but maybe that fourth time you run duo or power or inside zone, the hole that was just tight, just tiny at first, maybe declares itself more the more frequently you're on that path as a back. That's an area, to the caller Andy's point, where I do feel like we've seen growth in DeAndre Swift in recent weeks. So I understand Andy's point. Andy from Wisconsin, the caller. We'll get another caller here in a moment. The way he phrased it was DeAndre Swift, you know, number 4, but DeAndre Swift, who he's referencing, is running harder. I would say not necessarily harder. He's running better. He's running smarter. He's running with more trust this season than I believe we witnessed DeAndre Swift running it with last year. That's a really positive sign of growth for this Bears offense. 312-644-6767. Quentin on the west side wants to get involved in this convo about the Chicago Bears at now 4-2, their fourth victory in a row. What's happening, Quentin?
Not much. I'm happy about the win. I know we got a tough test against the Ravens, but I think we can take them down. Don't be surprised that the Bears would be 7-2. I guarantee that.
7-2. All right, from your lips to God's ears, Quentin. Now, when you look at the upcoming schedule for the Bears, there's a lot of folks who are looking ahead. I'm confident in the locker room. That's one of those things Ben Johnson will have to wrestle against. Make sure the players are starting to do some of that stuff. If Lamar Jackson is going to be back as they head out to Baltimore to face the Ravens and Roquan Smith, some of the other great players. It's been a really banged up Ravens squad so far this season. So who knows exactly what they look like by the time we get to next Sunday for that game at noon on CBS in Baltimore. But Quentin predicting 7-2. He thinks it's going to be at least another 3 victories for the Bears before they get back into divisional play. Go ahead and cross them fingers and toes and everything else. That would be a lot of fun. Let me get my first time out in here. I know I see other callers on the line here. Nick and Noah and Adam and Doug, all you guys and everyone else wants to get involved in this conversation because we don't get to experience this a whole lot, but we are here for the first time since 2018. The Bears are in the midst of a 4-game win streak. Matter of fact, after this timeout, we're going to turn the vibes up a little bit on this show too. Get some vibrations happening. See if my guy Tyler Farengold, who's on the ones and twos, and you know that's DJ language more often than not. See if we can get some music going as I describe what's happening with these Bears and get you involved in this convo. It's Post Show. I'm Anthony Herron. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a 2-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
3rd and 9, pressure coming again. It's picked up. Rattler intercepted. Picked off by Nashawn Wright. Across the 40. Wright still on the move. Down the sideline. Nashawn Wright out of bounds. Near the 25 of New Orleans.
That's how it sounded on Fox. Kevin Kugler, Moose Johnson on the call. Rashawn Wright with yet another interception, and it looked like, for at least a few moments, like it had a chance to be a pick six. He's pretty impressive after the catch, after the INT, with his open field ability. It was an impressive, I mean, the catch itself was fantastic, but then immediately to sort of dive roll after a diving, leaping interception from Deshaun Wright, and then immediately roll up and bounce into playmaker mode. That's one of those things when you do these drills, and defensive coaches, you're frequently doing takeaway circuits and interception drills where everybody turns it into almost like a punt return or a kick return, where you're trying to set up a wall to see if you can lead the interceptor to the end zone. You want somebody to pick up that most dangerous man, so usually the intended receiver, whoever the closest other defender is to that individual, that's the first block that you want to make sure gets made. And then from there, you start to set up a wall. And so if you look, you see other defenders in the area start to sort of get their head on a swivel. Which direction is the interceptor running? And where can I try to find somebody in an opposite colored jersey to get my mitts on? Now, way back when, back in my day, you try to find somebody, you could T-kettle them. And just go see if you could crack back block on somebody, some unsuspecting lineman. Or man, it used to be fun when you were allowed to hit the quarterback on interceptions. I mean, we would go try to maim the quarterback. The old defensive lineman, we could not wait to find a QB. And the rules have evolved over the years, where for so long in the history of the sport, you were allowed to just go and basically assault the opposing quarterback when he threw an interception. So it was like adding injury to insult, because the initial insult was him throwing a pick. But then on top of the interception being thrown, whether or not the quarterback actually chased the football and tried to get involved in the action, we were allowed to just go seek him out, just to go hunt him up and get the most violent hits on him that we could. And so that's what we were coached to do. Now, this has changed and evolved over the years, as they were tired of quarterbacks getting maimed. These guys with these, 8 to 9 and, 10-figure salaries or whatever some of these guys get now, they don't want them to be getting injured after throwing an interception. And so you're not allowed to go hunt up the quarterback. You're not allowed to go seek that guy out and do mean things to him unless he's really there trying to make a tackle. Then you're allowed to try and block the QB. But it's been a lot of fun to watch this Bears defense do the work that they've been doing here. I mean, 44 rushing yards that they gave up in this game to the Saints. This is one of the worst run defenses in football through the first few weeks of the season. And now they're leading the National Football League in takeaways. So that's a part of where, as we evaluate this team as a whole, and I'm urging you guys, and I don't think it's taking a whole lot of urging, but I just want to make sure you are enjoying the space that we're in right now. And now the Bears have 16 takeaways on the season, the most in the NFL. I don't know if they're going to get another takeaway this season. My money is on yes, it is probably going to happen. I don't know if they're going to win another game this season. My money is on yes, it is going to happen. But Tyler Farrell, let's go ahead and turn this thing up, man. Let's get some vibes going. I'm going to give out a few more numbers, a few more stats on what's happening with these Bears. But I'm sure you got a little something for me to just kind of give us some good vibrations on what's happening in the moment, because the vibes for the Bears at 4-2 in the midst of a four-game win streak have to be high. You got a little something we can use for a little bit of a music bet? There we go. Now we're talking. These vibes going. Some good vibrations throughout the city of Chicago about these Chicago Bears. Yeah, that's Marky Mark. That's the funky bunch. I'll take that. Just think about the last four games here. This four-game win streak, the points the Bears have scored off these turnovers. Back against the Dallas Cowboys, they scored 7. Back-to-back games with 13 points off these takeaways from the Bears defense. Against the Raiders and the Commanders, they had 13 points off takeaways in each of those two games. And now today, 10 points off takeaways in today's result against the Saints. You got a defense playing like that. And I mentioned they gave up 44 rushing yards. So the Saints with Alvin Kamara, one of the most combustible talents in the National Football League as a runner and pass receiver, the Saints averaged 2.5 yards a carry against your Chicago Bears. That is hard work. And we've seen some of the adjustments that have been made by Dennis Allen with personnel, with alignment. They continue to pay dividends for the Bears, for the Bears offense and things that they have gotten done here. This Bears run game, 222 rushing yards for the Bears. This offensive line doing work. These wide receivers straining on blocks within the run schemes that these Bears are running. So that's fun to watch. I guarantee you, in the film sessions that these Bears will have tomorrow, there's going to be things to clean up with the passing game. But there's going to be some of these run plays that Ben Johnson, this Bears offense, are going to put up on the big screen for everybody to watch. The way that teammates are straining, the way that DJ Moore, the way that Rome Odunze, the way that some of the pass catchers, some of the little guys, some of the wide receivers, some of these finesse players, Olamide Zaki is probably the smallest guy on the field out there straining to make blocks for his teammates, springing some of these runs that the Bears have. That's where you put that on film and guys are watching players, teammates straining for each other to have opportunities. That's what culture looks like on film. That's fun to watch. That's good vibes. That's positivity in motion when you can put that on the screen as a coach. One of the things I really loved was when we got to, and the Bears have put it out on social media, to watch and hear what's been happening in the Bears locker room. And to hear Ben Johnson give a shout out, give the game ball to his defensive coordinator, Dennis Allen, was a lot of fun as well. And I think that, you know, it's one thing to sort of say throughout the week that a guy who was a defensive assistant, a defensive coordinator in New Orleans, a head coach with the Saints, who spent the better part of this century coaching in the National Football League with the New Orleans Saints. And so now this is his first season removed from his time in New Orleans. So Dennis Allen did what he should have done throughout the week. He downplayed that facing his old team. But as can often be the case, we got a sense in the post-game locker room that perhaps this game and certainly the results of it being so positive for the Bears as a team and for the Bears as a defense had a little bit of something extra to it. Tyler, let's let the folks hear what happened in the post-game locker room with the game ball.
I have one game ball right now, okay? I already talked about defense, 4 turnovers, okay? Defense, 44 yards on the ground, all right? Defense, 4 sacks. Dennis Allen, come here!
Hey, sometimes the good Lord just has a freaking plan for you that you don't know about.
Yes, sir.
And sometimes you ain't good enough for somewhere else.
Preach.
That's perfectly fine.
Yes, sir.
I love being here. Yes, I love being with this group of guys.
Yes, sir.
You guys work your damn
ass off. Yes, sir.
Right? But 4 ain't enough.
Yeah.
4 ain't enough. Next one. Let's go get that.
That's a lot of fun. That victory locker room is all kinds of goodness, all kinds of tasty goodness when you're in a winning victory locker room. And for Dennis Allen, you know, it's been 20 years since I was around him. We were in Atlanta. He was early in his time as an NFL coach. I spent a couple seasons with the Falcons, 2004, 2005. And he is an abundantly competitive individual and a really detailed coach. We've seen that throughout his football journey. So, you know, at least for the moment, very happy for the Bears defense to sort of have the you know, the rewards that are there from the work that's being put in. Let's get another caller in before we go to our next time out at 312-644-6767. Adam's out on the road, perhaps leaving Soldier Field. Adam, what's happening? It's Post Show.
Hey, Anthony. Thanks for being on, taking my call, sir. Love the show. Hey, what would you say? I love the four-game winning streak. My only concern is I think there's too many drives ending in field goals, especially after turnovers. You mentioned the 13 points per game in those last two wins. Without those and without those defensive you know, turnovers, we're sitting at 2-4 instead of 4-2. So I'm concerned about how many drives are ending in field goals, and then depending on other teams making mistakes. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, I appreciate you, Adam. It's a worthwhile observation, and I think it's worthy of critique, maybe even concern. Still early in the season, and those games, if there were this amount of takeaways, it doesn't guarantee defeat for the Bears. It's the whole butterfly effect. You have no idea how the rest of the game plays out. If those are pass deflections instead of interceptions, they still punt the ball away and thus and so, you know, throw a strike play or trick play or anything else. So I wouldn't say that these are guaranteed defeats without it, but that possibility is certainly there to capitalize on those moments, to be able to have that point of focus and emphasis, and to be able to emphasize that after victories is a strong position for the Bears to be in, and to know that they can continue to climb from here while sitting at 4-2. It's a good position to be in, but I'm not going to tell you wrong for having some concerns about that, because there are these sort of glaring, flashing lights for where the Bears can continue to get better. The good thing is, through these first six games, we are seeing where the Bears have found ways to get better in areas that were of big concern previously. So I'm not counting out Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams, or anybody else from continuing to get this thing even better than it is right now. Going to be joined by one of our favorites here who covers the Bears for the station, Chris Emma. We'll be on the other side of this timeout on the Post Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The Score.
What's been the biggest difference for the running game being so effective?
I would say we clicking up front, and then the receivers are doing a great job on the perimeter. Heads off to them. Them guys up front, the receivers, I can't say that enough. And then if they do their jobs up front, we get a little bit of space as backs and everybody in our room. We're going to make something happen after that. So I just feel like we've been doing a better job this week and past week. Just clicking on all cylinders and on our jobs.
Observed running back DeAndre Swift addressing the assembled media post-game after his 19 carries for 124 yards with a touchdown that he had in the game today. 222 total rushing yards that the Bears had as a team. This is the Post-Post Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I'm Anthony Herron. We're having a fun conversation here with the Bears sitting at 4-2, four-game win streak, and to be able to have this in the midst of a season, a moment in time where it feels painfully obvious that the Bears have areas, important areas, for them to continue improving. Overall, it's a positive place for them to be as a squad. But to help me within this conversation, my guy Chris Emma on the hotline right now covers the Bears for The Score and the Marquee Sports Network. Emma, what's happening, man?
What's up, buddy? How we doing?
I'm fantastic. Not quite as good as the Bears, but I am doing what I can, man, for a 4-2 team, for a team that's won its last four games. I would imagine the vibe out there at Soldier Field. I know you were there. And to see where the Bears are at right now, how would you describe just the overall sort of temperature and demeanor of the team coming off another win?
It's businesslike, Big Ant. You feel that. Everybody in that locker room gets the sense from Ben Johnson down to the idea that they're winning football games, and that's great. They're 4-2. That's awesome. But they got so much to clean up. And that's a good thing. That's not a negative. That's not dwelling on something. That's very encouraging. They are winning these football games. They're getting the job done. They're finding a way to win. Four turnovers on the defensive side of the ball. A really impressive running game to make up for the fact that Caleb had a tough day today. But they're finding ways to win. 10 penalties, 92 yards, not good. 2-6 in the red zone, not good. 3 out of 12 on third down, not good. Like, find these things and fix them. You're able to zero in on ways that you can turn 4-2 into 5-2, 6-2, 7, to start stacking these wins and really thinking about yourself as a true playoff contender here. So it's really encouraging, but you got to look first at how this team can improve.
Look, for Theo Benedict to make his second start at left tackle, a more difficult matchup against an edge defender in Chase Young. We know how talented Chase Young is when he's healthy. Chase Young flying up the field was a part of what the Bears were able to capitalize on with some of their cutbacks in the run game, and I'll describe that a little bit later in the post-post show here. But for the offensive line as a whole with Theo Benedict in it, the ground attack these last couple of games has been just resplendent. What do you make of the way the Bears are running the rock?
You know, when Ben Johnson came in with his coaching staff, they talked about a fresh slate and a clean evaluation of every single player on this team. And that's both good and bad. If you're a guy like Theo Benedict, that's great. That means you're getting a true evaluation. They don't care that you're an undrafted free agent. For Braxton Jones, that's bad. That means you're a three-year starter who's being pushed aside. And Ben Johnson knows what he wants in his personnel. He knows how he wants to form this offense. And Theo Benedict's a prime example of that. He saw this offensive line better with Theo Benedict. It wasn't the best game for Theo Benedict. He was the first to admit that, talking about the mistakes and some of the issues that he had. But this identity is taking form now with him stepping into that mix. You've got some guys who can move bodies off the line in that interior. Darnell Wright, obviously, is a guy you're really counting on, and he seems to be taking a step. This starting five now, this is your offensive line, and you've got a group that you really believe in. You're getting the results. DeAndre Swift, a running back who you thought and feared He needs those wide open spots to really break some big runs, and he's getting them. He had two straight games of 100 plus yards, and there's been a lot of examples of him just finding space and accelerating. More so now, he's hitting the hole. He looks like he's being coached really well by Eric Bieniemy, and this offensive line now is helping DeAndre Swift become a better back. It's helping this offense take shape. And for Caleb Williams, like, it wasn't his best game. You're able to get away with that when you do have that complementary running game. So this follows the theme of what we were just talking about, where there's a lot to clean up, there's a lot to improve, but you found a way to win. You had a way on offense to get the job done today.
Yeah, that part is really fascinating to me, where so many games in the young career of Caleb Williams, we've seen him in situations where he hasn't been complimented by a quality ground attack and where he hasn't been assisted by a quality defense. Now, in back-to-back weeks here, we're seeing that come to fruition in the Bears able to win games, and especially today. I said it in opening up the show, I think this was probably Caleb Williams' worst game of the season, and yet and still the Bears were able to win and control the action throughout. I did find it interesting. We played the post-game sound of Dennis Allen getting the game ball. And yeah, I mean, the defense was exceptional throughout the day with all the takeaways. It also happened to be against his old employer. What did you make of that aspect of what we've seen out of the Bears post-game locker room?
You know, Dennis Allen last week downplayed the idea of facing his former team. I talked with Grady Jarrett on Friday. He said, yeah, absolutely it's personal. It has to be personal. And every player has lived that as well, facing a team that let you go or that didn't believe in you. In the case of Dennis Allen being fired by the Saints, like, this was his chance to go out and show it, and his defense did that today. He talks about an aggressive attacking style. That's what he wants from his group. That's Dennis Allen to a T, and his players are following suit. You see the way they're swarming to the football, that they're attacking it. They had four takeaways today. It could have been seven. Like, they had missed some opportunities for a bunch more. This defense is firing right now. And again, same theme, though. Some things to clean up. That drive at the end of the first half was, like, way too easy for Spencer Rattler. It's all right. You're able to get back to work on Monday after watching some honesty on tape. And really kind of holding yourself to a high standard. Get back in the practice field Wednesday, you start cleaning these things up. But this defense looks really good right now. This is a defense that is following the lead of its coordinator, that believes in each other. And I think it's arrow pointing up for that unit. This is what you wanted to see, was a defense-led team. And as this offense really finds its form and builds towards something more consistent, this is the way it's going to have to play out for now. And if you're winning football games doing it, that's fantastic.
The fact that the Bears are 4-2 now, just like they were 4-2 last season, how would you compare and contrast last year's 4-2 versus this one?
I got to ask that with Caleb Williams a bit, and I'll preface this by taking it back to Detroit a month ago when I asked Caleb about, how do you process 0-2? And he kind of gave me this look, and I don't think he loved the question, and I don't think he wanted to dwell. But he said, like, I believe in this team, and he said all the right things. I followed up on that today. How does 4-2 feel? How does that resonate with you? Why is this different? He gave a great answer, and you might have played it by now. The idea of they expect victory. And he said living in the known is the way he described it over and over again, talking about when they get to the end of the week after the preparation with three practices down with a game plan in front of them, they believe they're going to win. And that's been the case now for these last four games. It's not guaranteed that believing you're going to win turns into getting a win. But this is the mindset, and this is where Caleb Williams and this entire team, it seems, that's where they are right now, is that they feel that this coaching staff is excellent. They believe these guys that they're getting coached hard, that they're getting prepared well. They see the talent on this roster increasing. And the difference now from a year ago is I don't think everybody truly felt that galvanizing belief in Matt Eberflus and his coaching staff. And even before the 10-game losing streak, before that Hail Mary dagger in Washington, I think everybody kind of had that thought of, okay, let's see where this goes. We're okay right now. It's different now because they're winning football games. They won four straight, and I think everybody to a man knows it's just not good enough yet. Like, I think that's the exciting thing. Is last year's team kind of obviously topped out at 4-2, and you felt like they had played their best ball right away, and then it just all unraveled. This team's sitting at 4-2 and saying, man, we can be so much better, and with that, we can keep winning football games. So you sense the confidence when you talk about living in the known and expecting victory. It's legitimate. Those are not just words. Those are actions you're seeing out there on the field.
Last one for you, Emma. The penalties really on each side of the ball. There were four defensive penalties that led to first downs for the Saints in the game today. We got back to, you know, our buddy Kevin Fishbane, Fishy Business. He's over here jinxing the Bears, all these false starts back now. The penalties, what did Ben Johnson say about those afterwards?
He said bluntly and just put it right out in front of you, I expect it to be a lot better six games in. And he should. Like, they've been honing on this for a while. And this is not a quick fix. The discipline aspect, the penalties, like, that's not something overnight, because we said all throughout, you know, training camp in July and August and through even dating back to the OTAs and minicamp, like, those are issues you saw in practice. It's not gotten better. You keep honing on it. You coach it. You preach it. You try to live it. And you hope that number 10 goes down to something more reasonable, 5, and you start eliminating those issues man-to-man. It's not going away right now, and that's a frustrating aspect. You got to get this team more disciplined and put in a place where you're not dealing with this. But Ben Johnson's frustrated. That's going to be one of the first things he talks about in that meeting tomorrow at Halas Hall, is about cleaning things up, getting better on the discipline front, and knowing the way that that can impact a game. So that is going to be a priority this week and pretty much every week moving forward here.
And Emma, we know you will be there taking it in person and be all over this station throughout the week, breaking it down in preparation for the Bears' hopefully 5th win in a row as they face the Baltimore Ravens. Appreciate you, my guy.
Take care.
That is Chris Emma. You can find him on social media at CEmma670. Covers the Bears for us here at 670 The Score. When we return, I referenced how I want to describe the run game to you, and there's some specific things that the Bears did with the path of their running backs, and one thing they took advantage of in an aspect of how the Saints were operating within their front seven. Also want to get more of your phone calls in at 312-644-6767. You can also tune in all day tomorrow for a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Judson Richards will be live starting at midnight, followed by Mully and Haw at 5:30 right here on The Score. You'll be able to hear me on the midday show with Raheemi, Harris, and Grody. All kinds of other talent will be here on The Score of the football analysts to help break things down and review of what we saw today with the Bears taking down the New Orleans Saints. But for now, I got another half hour with you, leading you up to Sunday Night Football coverage on The Score between the 49ers and the Falcons. Top of the hour coming up, and I'm going to break down this Bears run game and get more of your calls in it. 312-644-6767. This is Post Post Show on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Taysom Hill, the motion man, Rattler under pressure. Ball is out. He fumbled, and it's recovered by Chicago. Montez Sweat able to jar that loose, and the Bears have it at the 24-yard line of New Orleans. No official signal yet. Maybe it has changed hands at the bottom of the pile, but there were two Bears and one quarterback. And it's Chicago ball. The Saints cough it up inside the 25. Jervon Dexter recovers after the Montez Sweat strip.
That audio courtesy of Fox Sports. Kevin Kugler, Moose Johnson on call. I'm Anthony Herron. This is the Post Post Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Tonight, the 49ers host the Falcons on Sunday Night Football. Coverage is coming up at 6:30 with kickoff at 7:20 right here on The Score and the Odyssey app. I got Tyler Farrengold with me on the other side of the glass for the remainder of this evening as we take you up to Sunday Night Football. Bears came out with another dub, their fourth in a row. 26-14 was the final score. And that man, that was Montez, with another sack. And it was good to see the Bears' defense, not only with the takeaways, but one of the things that I was describing this morning on Bears Game Day Live over on Fox 32, myself, Lou Kanellis, Cassie Carlson, Tina Wynn. And as we're talking through different things, I've been trying to describe the way that Dennis Allen has been able to marry together his front with his coverage. And when you've got a D line that's denting the pocket regularly, that's winning pass rushes on a regular basis, that's whiffing blocks over and over again, just making guys miss, penetrating into the backfield, when the guys with their hand in the dirt are just wreaking havoc, then it's frankly a lot easier to marry front and coverage together. It's not what they've been getting from the D-line very consistently this season. But that was a nice moment for Montez Sweat, especially because Spencer Rattler, in maybe a similar fashion to Caleb Williams, his former college teammate, former counterpart there at Oklahoma. Caleb ends up winning the starting job away from Spencer Rattler while Lincoln Riley is still there before he transfers to USC. You've all heard that described and been reminded of that throughout the week. But Spencer Rattler can move. Spencer Rattler can run. I actually covered both those guys as they were coming out of high school playing in the All-American Bowl. It's a game I call every year for NBC. Each of them were five-star quarterbacks coming out of high school, and they each committed to playing the game. Now, Caleb's year, his senior year of high school, ended up being the COVID year, so we actually didn't have the All-American Bowl. So I didn't get to meet Caleb and call him on the field in San Antonio in person. He and J.J. McCarthy were both scheduled to play in the All-American Bowl that year with Cooper DeJean and a lot of other really talented guys, but we ended up not having the game. But I evaluated Spencer. His year he came out, he did play in the game, got to meet him in person, talked to him, evaluated him. Same way I evaluated Caleb's high school tape as well. Stylistically, there are a lot of similarities between Spencer Rattler and Caleb Williams. One of those is that they're both somewhat diminutive in stature, like not tiny, but neither one has overwhelming size as a quarterback, and both are fairly mobile. You're not going to build a rushing attack around the mobility of either guy, but both can hurt you with their legs. And on that Montez Sweat sack that Tyler played for you coming out of the break, one of the things that happened was Montez Sweat got up the field, but as he tends to be pretty effective at doing, he got up the field while condensing the pocket, got up the field while pressing the offensive tackle back, and then retraced. And that retrace, especially with the length and the speed that Montez Sweat can retrace with, is what led to that quarterback sack. And as he got on top of the quarterback, Spencer Rattler, and Moose Johnston did a nice job, Daryl Johnston, you know, just describing that from a ball security perspective, it's a big mistake that Spencer Rattler made where he didn't have two hands around the football. He's, you know, in traffic in the midst of offensive linemen, defensive linemen, bodies everywhere, and he's got one hand on the football as he's extending the play and trying to run away. And so as a D lineman, you love that. You hope for that. You begin to salivate as you're coming off that block and starting to retrace, and you see that the quarterback has the football exposed with one hand, and then immediately you chop down at it, rake away at it to try and get the football out. Montez Sweat did that really effectively in that moment. It still wasn't a game overall that the Bears' pass rush was overwhelming, but that's something that really goes to show how well Dennis Allen is designing the defenses and coaching the guys up, because the pass rush, situationally, they've had guys who've been able to beat blocks and win rushes and get into the backfield, but it's just it's not a Bears D-line that's consistently getting home like that. But schematically, we've begun to see them, and by them I mean Dennis Allen, ramp up the situational blitz pressure. And I've been telling you guys for a few years now, in some ways, the best pass rushers the Bears have are their second and third level blitzers. Like, your hope is that your best pass rushers are going to be the guys who more consistently rush the passer, the defensive linemen. But Kyler Gordon as a blitzer, Jaquan Brisker as a blitzer, TJ Edwards as a blitzer, these are guys who have a really innate feel for timing up the snap count of the opposing offense. And then sometimes when guys blitz, they just sort of run downhill and hope for the best with no angles, with no moves. But that's not what these individuals do. Like Kyler Gordon, on that sack he had today, they even saw him coming. And frankly, there were three different potential blockers who got eyes on Kyler Gordon at a certain point, and yet he was still able to bend the corner, dip his shoulder, and continue to turn, keeping his cleats in the ground, and turn to finish at the QB. And of course, he's got the burst to be able to get home and get his sack. Then on the very same series, here comes Jaquan Brisker, snap after snap. multiple plays in a row. He's getting home with blitz pressure as well. The first time, he runs over Alvin Kamara with power. Then he makes an inside move on the tight end. Now, that one ended up leading to a penalty. Juwan Johnson, I think, was the tight end trying to block him on that play. That one ends in a penalty that extends the drive on third and super long. So the result of that one is unfortunate. But we've seen Dennis Allen utilize the additional blitzers, bringing additional pass rushers, and especially against a young quarterback like that, it ended up leading to some of these other moments where the Bears defense was really impactful. And then you've got a second-year football player looking, patting the football, being uncertain, errant passes, and that's what you want because the physical pressure was there at times, but it really felt like the mental pressure on Spencer Rattler was really overwhelming at times from that Bears defense, not only because of what happened up front, but because of what was happening on the back end. Like that Nashawn Wright interception, any of you, if you go back and look at that, at where he was, he has outside leverage on the interception. So it's a third down. He's got zone eyes in the backfield with outside leverage on the receiver. And as he's reading the route, he's got eyes on the quarterback and the developing route the entire way. And so as he's got the crosser coming in his direction, he's in perfect position at the sticks to be able to drive on that route. And when he did it, he got there, and he didn't just break the pass up and lead to a punt. He didn't just knock the ball down. That's a nice play. That can get you, like, if you're going back and grading the film, that'll get you a plus. Get a pass deflection on third down and get off the field. But when you get an interception, when you make that play, that's the next level of what you're hoping for execution-wise, where you're in great alignment, you're reading the route, you've got the depth at the sticks, and it's a passing attack from New Orleans that hasn't consistently thrown the ball over people's heads this season. And that's with Chris Olave. Now, what we saw from Chris Olave today was what we've seen Chris Olave be capable of from his collegiate career and into the early part of his NFL career. He's got blazing speed. They've just only occasionally attempted to take advantage of it. But he can get behind you. That's where Tyreek Stevenson kind of got a little glimpse at that towards the end of the first half. But that was a sensational play that was made by Nashawn Wright. And that's where, yeah, front and coverage really married together nicely. And we've seen so many examples of that over the last few games from the way Dennis Allen is calling and positioning and timing up this Bears defense. Now, offensively, some things that we'd certainly like to see grow from Caleb and from the Bears. And let's hear from Caleb Williams himself a little bit, because the 4-2 start, and Chris Emmel was talking about this with me a moment ago, the 4-2 start this season versus last season, in record, they certainly are identical, but there are aspects of this that should be encouraging because of where the players in the locker room and the Bears quarterback himself feel like there's really valuable differences.
What's the feeling for you now, 4-2, and then looking ahead to what can come here?
Yeah, belief. Still, it's confidence. It's belief. It's living in the know, the known. You know, the feeling of myself this year, in the sense of when we have games, when we're going through the game plan. You know, when we get to the end of the week, it's more of a feeling of we know we're going to win. And, you know, that's not always going to be the case, but the feeling of it is different than, you know, maybe, you know, or you know, we got to go out here and play a perfect game or anything like that. It's living in the known of the feeling of we're going to come out here and win the game. And obviously a lot of things have to go right, and we got to execute, and we got to, you know, communication, all these different things. Defense has played well, offense has played well, special teams, all three sides of the ball, but living in the known is kind of where we're at. Even when we were 0-2, we were still living in the known that we're going to, you know, fight back, and, you know, we're going to be 2-2, and then we'll go 3-2, and then we'll be 4-2. And so it's living in the known. We have to, you know, do things throughout the week, hard work, you know, stand late, do all the right things. But living in the known is where we're living, and, you know, we got to stay there. We got to keep being consistent. We got to, you know, hold each other accountable. We got to do the right things to be able to stay consistent and be the team we want to be.
Love hearing that from the Bears quarterback, because a couple of things he did at the postgame press conference there, as he's done really throughout his entire young career so far. He's pointing the thumb at himself for areas that he can improve, things he needs to continue to get better at, the issues with QB center exchange and cadence, receivers who he can try to make sure he's hitting in stride, all those types of things. But living in the known is I think a really valuable trait that hopefully the entire Bears locker room is really sort of, I guess, gravitating towards, really holding close to their mentality. Because when you can continue to operate from a position of confidence, even in knowing that the results aren't what you hope they'll be, but being confident that that's where the results will go with the given work that you're putting in, that can really be a strong and a galvanizing thing, to be confident you're headed in that direction. And perhaps it's easier to be there when you're 4-2, as opposed to, like one of the earlier callers referenced, if you're 2-4 right now, then it can maybe be a little bit more difficult when the tangible results aren't there from a win-loss perspective to continue to speak about it in such a confident way. If there's nothing else we know about Caleb Williams, he certainly is a confident guy who seems to channel that in a really beneficial way. 312-644-6767. The number to get involved in the post-post show. I'm Anthony Herron. Let's go out to Neil from Northbrook. Wants to talk about what's happening with these Bears. What's up, Neil?
Hey, Big Ant. Huge fan. You're such an intellectual. I hope to meet you one day. I was at the game today, and I would just love to hear your thoughts when it comes to him, not Caleb, not finding guys open at times. What would you like him to do, continue, and what would you like him to do differently? Because it seems like sometimes he's still kind of hanging on to the ball, hoping for that miracle play.
Yeah, that's a valuable question, Neil. I appreciate you asking it. Thanks for calling. So today, to me, was, I would say, the time so far this season where it was most apparent that Caleb Williams was holding the ball, looking for a big play. This is the first time I came out of watching a Bears game this season and felt like Caleb was sort of being greedy on a consistent basis. I know, and I talked about it a lot going into the draft when we all knew for months that the Bears were likely going to take Caleb with the number one overall pick a couple of years ago. And it was all over his college film that he would hold the ball and run around and look for the big play and the chunk play. And he did it quite a bit as a rookie as well, in that sort of, you know, mixed up, mashed together version of the Bears offense and multiple play callers and all those things that he went through last year. But I've been watching him this season, and through the first five games, even with those, you know, the perfect imperfections, Andre 3000, that were there from the first five games, I thought one thing, my evaluation has been that we've pretty consistently, I believe, seen a version of Caleb that's matured a lot with his willingness to hit the back foot and just make a decision with the football, whether that's been trying to deliver it to the right spot to a playmaker, sometimes accurately, sometimes not, or when it's not there, to use his legs to gain yards. Today was a time where, more frequently than any other game this season, I came out of today's game, and I wrote it in the notes that I took from just evaluating the game, that we saw examples of this being what I call a greedy game for Caleb, where he's looking for the chunk play, looking for the big play, passing up on check down opportunities, whether to DeAndre Swift, to Kyle Manungai. So overall, and to your question, Neil, being six games into this season, and, you know, other evaluators might disagree with me, but this is, to me, the first game this year where I saw a version of Caleb that I felt like was consistently being greedy in what he was trying to do with the football. And I thought New Orleans did an effective job blending man concepts with zone concepts. It did have him pat the football a little bit. He had a left tackle in Theo Benedict that was frankly struggling quite a bit in pass protection. And, you know, Chase Young is not the Chase Young of, you know, as far as his pure burst and explosion and athleticism. He's not the same Chase Young as when he came out in the draft, but we saw today, like, as close as he is to whatever his 100% is, if he's that, you know, just a couple of games into this season, he's hard to handle. And so that was a different challenge for Theo Benedict than the one he faced last week. And he struggled in pass pro. To his credit, he continued to fight and scrap. And to Ben Johnson's credit, in a different way than, frankly, any other offensive play caller the Bears have had since I've been here evaluating this team in this city for however many years that's been now, Ben Johnson, week in and week out, does an effective job of not continuing to put offensive players in positions where they struggle. In every game so far, if Caleb's not doing one thing well, he finds another way to go about it. Like in today's game, there's a decent amount of under center, but he got to some called pocket movement with boots and sprints. He got to some situations of going hard play action, and that did ignite the passing attack a little bit. He didn't consistently say, I'm just going to leave Theo Benedict on an island to try and block Chase Young, because I don't know, maybe the next time Theo Benedict blocks Chase Young will be the first time he blocks Chase Young if he gets another chance at it tonight. He was struggling with him today, and I get that. He's a young player making his second start, and Chase Young is a really gifted pass rusher. But one of the things that Ben Johnson did, and also credit to Caleb, because he's got the keys to the car at the line of scrimmage. He makes sure the Bears are in the proper run play versus the front that they're seeing. And so Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams, one thing the running backs began to do, they ran what's thought of as a mid zone. So as opposed to the wide stretch zone play where you get the offensive line running sideways, the defense begins to run sideways, and the running back cuts more laterally, there were some nice moments today where the Bears went more mid zone, and Chase Young, as he's flying up the field, there was like a more subtle cutback that DeAndre Swift began to utilize that led to some of the nice runs that were there. Some power, some combo on the inside at times, but some of the mid zone where you see the offensive line running off the ball, still lateral, but not as wide with their lateral steps, really began to have some effective run lanes on some shorter cutbacks that were more vertical with the cutback opportunities for DeAndre Swift and the Bears running backs. Really liked the way that looked, and it was them taking advantage of something that was being presented by that New Orleans defensive front, and mainly the way Chase Young was just flying up the field so consistently against Theo Benedict or whatever the Bears offensive player was who was trying to block him. So it was nice to see another win for the Bears. Really effective way for them to get that dub. Again, tune in all day tomorrow for a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Judson Richards will be live starting at midnight, followed by Mullion Hall at 5:30 right here on The Score. Tonight, the 49ers host the Falcons on Sunday Night Football. Coverage is coming up next with kickoff at 7:20 right here on The Score and the Odyssey app. My thanks to Tyler Farengold on the ones and twos for me throughout the post-post show. I'm Anthony Herron. I'll talk to you tomorrow on the Midday Show right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Deck your home with Blinds.com. DIY or let us install. Free design consultation. Plus free samples and free shipping.
Ho, ho, ho! Blinds.com invented a better way to buy custom high-quality window treatments with no showroom mock-ups or waiting around for quotes from pushy salespeople, saving you time and money for the holidays with upfront pricing right on our website.
Go right now to Blinds.com. Satisfaction guaranteed.
Satisfaction guaranteed.
Head to Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase plus a free professional measure. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.